Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. Let's face it, the future is now. We're living in a connected cyber society, and we need to stop ignoring it or pretending that it's not affecting us. Join us as we explore how humanity arrived at this current state of digital reality and what it means to live amongst so much technology and data. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Black Cloak provides concierge cybersecurity protection to corporate executives and high net worth individuals to protect against hacking, reputational loss, financial loss, and the impact of a corporate data breach. Learn more at blackcloak.io. RSA Security offers business-driven security solutions that provide organizations with a unified approach to managing digital risk that hinges on integrated visibility, automated insights, and coordinated actions. Learn more at rsa.com. BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com.
Here we go, redefining society. And today, we're really redefining it, or at least we're trying really, really hard. And we shouldn't be here. It's 2021, but here we are having this conversation. And there are people really passionate about this. And I am so lucky to have a good friend of mine and also host of a channel on ITSP Magazine. Actually, two and a, one and a half, sort of. And that person is Chloe, Chloe Mustaghi. Hi.
Hey, Marco. How's it going?
I'm good. Just fighting the heat like everyone else.
Excellent. For those that aren't aware, we're in California and experiencing a drought and fires in the meantime.
Yeah, it's fun.
But at least I'm not Angela and in Washington right now, or Mickey in Oregon. But we have some wonderful people on here, and I'm very excited for this. And Marco, thanks for having this kind of idea and collaboration project to just bring this entire team together for We Open Tech. Mickey, let's go with Mickey first. Mickey, do you mind sharing a little bit about who you are and what you do for We Open Tech?
You may be muted, or we lost you. Mickey, you there?
Oh,
no, we lost her.
Angela.
I'll edit this. So she's back. So let's see if we can move it to her. Otherwise.
Oh no.
Here she is. Mika, you there?
Yeah, I would never laugh, believe it or not.
This is thrilling.
All right, let's just pretend the question just ended. Go.
Okay. My name is Mickey Demeter. I'm a security researcher at Intel. I've been there for 14 years, and I've worked with a number of outside groups, such as Portland Women in Tech, the women who code Portland, and I'm also working with Chloe's new group as a kind of an advisor.
Thanks, Mickey. All right, Angela, your turn.
Hi, everyone. My name is Angela Marafino. I'm currently a program manager at Microsoft by day and We Open Tech board member by every other time of the day. And I also host another podcast on the ITSP Magazine channel, which is the Focal Point podcast. And that's with Chantel Sims, as well as moderating the Hacker Book Club for all of you book nerds out there. So happy to be here.
Maria, go for it.
Hi, everybody. My name is Maria Mora. I am a staff level security and compliance engineer at Crunchyroll. And I also do quite a number of volunteer work, one of which is co-founder with We Open Tech. So I'm really happy to be here. Also, my pronouns are they, them. I just came out as non-binary not too long ago.
All right, Chloe, this is my turn to ask you to introduce yourself for those few that don't know who you are.
Hi, everyone. Once again, my name is Chloe Vizdari, and I am a security and tech change maker. I love to basically make a dent in our industry and try to change things because they're so broken in some ways, and they've been broken for way too long. But my day job is a strategy growth consultant, and I work with companies basically to empower and provide solutions so then they're able to grow. And also, I am the co-founder of We Open Tech, also co-founder of Hacking is Not a Crime. And also, I do now a project called Open Tech Pledge with Camille Eddy. And also, I do a column, an advice column on Security Boulevard, and just launching a brand new podcast with ITSP Magazine. And this channel is all about change making. And of course, it's got to be named The Change Making. I know that was a list.
It wasn't even a question, I guess. I mean, with all you do, you're definitely driven by the will and the desire to, as you say, making a dent. And when you see something wrong, it seems to me you just have to. You have to try to make it right. And it's so inspiring for a lot of people. And today in particular, we want to understand what We Open Tech is and how it came, the need for it. I guess it's clear to me, but let's talk about it.
Yeah, you know what I would love? And I want to put everyone on the hot seat because that sounds like a lot of fun. And I can just imagine Angela just dying of laughter and afraid, which is totally okay. But why is everyone in We Open Tech? What does We Open Tech mean to them personally? Maria, I'm going to go with you as my co-founder.
Okay. I had a feeling this would happen. So I'm a big proponent of making sure that underrepresented people, not just within the gender binary, also outside the gender binary, with all of their intersectional identities, race, ethnicity, religion, all of that stuff, you know, it's like, it's very important to me. And there's so many underserved groups, basically, that need to be heard and given a chance to flourish in this industry we call tech. And I really want to see all of us grow together, given the fact that there's so much going on in the world. There's even though we say that the world's getting more and more progressive, sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily the case, especially in various industries. And I want to see that change. I want to see people that are usually overlooked actually helped out. And I want to be part of that.
I love it. Angela, go for it.
You know, I really love the fact that we have we in the name. And, well, I'm pretty sure all of us have been groups, been in other groups in the past, but everyone joins a group for a different reason, right? Whether that be career growth or career change or just advice or just to meet new people. I feel like what we're doing with We Open Tech is more literally about we as a community and not just I am a part of this group for this reason and what can I get from it, right? And so it's less about me particularly for the reason that I'm in it and more about making that we encompass everyone and letting everyone feel like they're part of the we.
Mickey?
Yeah, I mean, for me, We Open Tech means a lot of the same things that I heard from everybody here. But for me personally, I work with a lot of underrepresented and marginalized communities, being a trans woman and neurodivergent and have a disability. it's, you want to see that all, you see all these intersectionality coming into all of these different areas, and it can't be just women anymore. It has, we have to look at everybody, right? And that's what it means to me.
Mickey, what you just said just touched on exactly why I wanted We Open Tech to form, which is like, I can look up, I remember a few years ago when I just started InfoSec and I was looking for groups I can join because I felt very isolated and alone. And I never really identified with women organizations or women groups. I didn't join a sorority. I didn't do any of those things because I didn't feel like I wanted to be branded by my gender of my sex, in a sense. And I didn't really want to see myself as any gender specifically. I just wanted to be myself and be respected for that and, you know, recognize that. And I felt like I had to keep joining these women orgs because I felt that was the only way I would feel comfortable in the space. But then I started noticing that not all these organizations are kind of celebrating people that are, don't feel like they want to buy into all the gender stereotypes of being women. And I also see that that's kind of where we need to have this conversation now, I think, in many ways throughout society, which is, what is gender? And is gender really binary at this point? Are we actually having to buy into stereotypes or the labeling? And can we just assign ourselves who we think we are and have people respect that, such as pronouns? And I think that was one of the reasons why this meant a lot to me and to have you incredible people to do We Open Tech, because we need change. We need to open the door. It is about taking actions now at this point. We can't keep having conversations. It's now about taking actions. How are we going to actually do something about this now? Because it's been too long and there's a load of women organizations, but what about those that are non-binary? What about those that are, you know, men that are trans? Where is it safe for them at the end of the day? And also you have the gender that don't want to conform, and that's okay. So I know that on our website, we have a very interesting thing on there. And I would love Maria to share a little bit about it, because there are not too many people that are familiar with the paradox of tolerance. And I remember when Maria was like, we have to put this on our page. And I looked at it. It's like, how did I not know about this? This is amazing. Maria, do you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to read an excerpt from my favorite research tool called Wikipedia. The paradox of tolerance states that if a society is tolerant without limit, its ability to be tolerant is eventually seized or destroyed by the intolerant. Now, given that, there's, you know, unfortunately, there is this thing that we call diversity of thought, which is great for the most part, but also if it goes unchecked, it kind of implodes on itself, and society kind of like, yeah, implodes as mentioned. So I think one really important thing to note here is that if we want to be as open as we can, we kind of have to set some boundaries, some house rules, and basically it states that we don't oppress anybody in the group. And I'd actually like to hear a little bit from Marco, as you're probably the expert in the room about this. I'd really love to know your thoughts about, you know, this rule that we have that we don't really tolerate intolerance.
Do you have a year or two that we can have this conversation?
Oh, I would love that.
I mean, this is at the core of many political science, philosophy, core conversations, because it's about how humans interact with each other in a society and how, for example, when you talk about a social contract or you establish certain rules, you do in the interest of the majority of the society. It doesn't mean that the winners are going to destroy the losers, otherwise it would be a problem, but there are this paradox, which is something that you can probably see with freedom as well. You know how many times people are like, well, I have the freedom to do what I want. Well, your freedom, when the moment that you start destroying my freedom, my well-being, my health or my life, and my right to be free, then you're kind of at a point where it's a paradox, right? It's exactly what it is. So if the intolerant say, well, I can be intolerant, and you have to tolerate that, and the moment that they'll become belligerent about that, that's when society has to step in and stop it. So that's a very long conversation, and it's upsetting for me to know that nowadays we're still here, but you open the news and here we are. You listen and you look at social media posts and everybody's having his own problem with this. So we're not there yet. A lot of steps, like, you know, equality in cybersecurity, but in technology, in society, and those are important conversation. And only, I think, with people that are taking a stand, we're going to keep making progress. And I don't think it's going to be easy, but everybody has to contribute. And I think by talking about it, we're contributing to it. So I'm thinking, Maria, would you like to add something to it?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that when it comes to, you know, the whole intolerance thing and the fact that we open tech really needs to be a safe space. And, you know, we can talk about safe space a little bit more later. It's its own conversation. But I think, you know, talking about the paradox of tolerance and how we are intolerant to the intolerant, and we can talk about math logic here if you want. But basically what I'm saying is this kind of ties back to the goal that we have to be open, to be a safe space for folks to actually grow.
Yeah, and Chloe, when we were setting up this conversation, we went right there to the point where we were like, when you're trying to be who you want to be and you go to join a tolerant group that then turn out to be is only tolerant for those that are like them, where is tolerance there?
So I think the thing is that a lot of people are just starting to hear what is non-binary or what is non-binary. And it's really interesting because I've had situations in the past where I was talking with an executive who was about to hire someone. And when they found out that this person happened to be non-binary, it seemed as if they withdrew within a matter of hours the offer letter because they didn't know how to react to someone who had a different pronoun than the pronouns they were used to, which is like she, her, he, and him. And I think that's kind of where we are right now is having this conversation because the reality is that less than 20% of our C-levels and board positions are held by people that aren't marginalized. So they don't need to care. In other words, they are completely in privilege in that sense because they don't have to worry about it because it doesn't impact them. But the reality is by not acknowledging that, you're causing pain to someone else. And I think that's one of the things that it really started becoming very pronounced when we look at other organizations was that they would say, oh, we also accept non-binary, but yet the title of the organization still had women in the title. And that's not how it works. The thing is that if we really want to be open, then maybe it's best to, if you're going to serve, and I wanted to say this for the record here, if you're planning to serve women and women only, then you serve all women. That's regardless if they're cis or if they're trans, all women. But if you're an organization that wants to support marginalized genders, but specifically you want to go for women and non-binary and non-conforming, then make sure to change your title to represent that by dropping the woman from the title. Who else wants to jump on this bandwagon with me?
I feel like I talked a lot already.
So, like you mentioned, Chloe, I think it does have a lot to do with where you're at, and I don't mean you, but where a person is at in their journey about learning and making the effort to understand what it means to be non-binary or agender or whatever it may be that is new to them. I think, you know, it's one thing to say, yeah, sure, that's fine, it's cool. But it's another to say, it's cool, but also, why would we change the name from women? And it really shouldn't even be a big deal, right? It's like, if your goal is to meet other women, fine. But also, if you're also okay with meeting other people, why does it matter what name you're doing it under, right? So just think about how you would feel if you went to a meeting that was like, if you're a woman, you can only sit in the pink chairs. And if you're a man, you can only sit in the blue chairs. And if you identify as neither, guess you don't have anywhere to sit. How would you feel? I think that's a good
one. I think I might take that example for future conversations. That is so good. Mickey or Maria, anything you want to add on?
Well, sure. As I work for a bunch of different women's organizations, I've been putting in for the last 3, 4, 5 years. Every time, this is one of my, you know, primary complaints is, why are we still called Portland Women in Tech when we have women, non-binary, varying genders, right? And we tell everybody right on our page that we accept all these people, yet we still have women in our name. And so we're actually looking at changing that one. Women Who Code is really a tough nut to crack because they're a national organization. And I put in my 2 cents worth a few years ago with the upper echelon of the national office. And I have yet to see any movement on it at all, which is really sad to say, but because they're really a good technical organization. But then, you know, the inclusivity part of it is easy to, you know, say, right? But it's also in how they actually do it.
And I don't think any of us are saying, like, women don't need a space, specifically just women, because the women's issues have been something we've all been trying to overcome for a long time, obviously. And it, some of them, like you mentioned, the less than 20% of C-suite execs, right? That's just getting to a point where we're starting to see more women in those spots. So yes, like that progress is awesome and good, and we still need to work towards it too. But there's a lot of organizations that do that now, as opposed to in the past where there were none, right? And so as the need for everyone else to have a spot, I think it's okay for some of the women's orgs to either merge or, you know, phase out and turn into something new. You've got to adapt to the rest of the, like, things change. Change is good. Roll with it. But, you know, staying to, like, if that was the case, then there would be no, you know, if everything was supposed to stay the same, there would be no women's orgs in the first place. And then yeah, we would just, you know, be really backwards. But moving forward and changing is always a good thing.
Well, 6 years ago, when I first went to a Portland Women in Tech event, I walked in and I felt just exactly like Chloe said. I walked into a white girl's sorority. I went and actually found the CEO and the president and talked to them and said, look, you have a problem here, right? I don't see anybody here that looks like me, right? Every single person on your board of directors is a cis white woman, right? And I'm going, you have a real problem here if you're trying to be inclusive. And 6 years later, I'm on board of directors. We also have some non-binary. So, I mean, we have the full gamut now. And it was all because I spoke 6 years ago.
And that's so important, is to speak up. But there's definitely been times where it's been scary also for people to speak up. Like, I know folks that they're really scared and nervous to be public especially if they're in their companies or organizations where they're not surrounded by any diversity at all. And what I mean by hardly any diversity at all is just looking at the numbers and what is the norm in that area. But for in the US, it is usually cis white males. So if you have majority cis white males in leadership positions, it's really hard to wanting to talk about these things or talk about diversity, equity, inclusion. And that's kind of, I think, one of the reasons why We Open Tech was so important was also to create this safe space. So we do have, we figured out a way how to have a safe space online. Basically, we have, we're all on Discord. We usually communicate on Discord. And there are certain channels that allies that can basically participate. And then there's a lot of channels that they cannot participate. And since we have it in a way where we have a safe space for everyone to feel comfortable of being in the same location. And I think that's one of the things is that sometimes when we don't try to work with allies, how are we going to have any change? Because like I said earlier, with all these executive positions that are filled usually in tech companies, it's by, you know, straight cis white males. So how are we going to change that if we don't have them be part of the conversation? And if they're like, you know what, I kind of want to understand a little bit more. I want that door to be open because the chances that they want to even look into this in the first place is rare.
The risk that you have when you do that, and I had plenty of conversation about diversity, and I'm still struggling to accept, of course, that this is a problem because I just don't see it. I don't know. Maybe I'm lucky. Maybe I'm lucky to have the parents I had and growing in that environment where if I see a doctor, for me, is a doctor, is not a female doctor or a male doctor, or an astronaut is an astronaut. But apart from that, I also think that there is a lot of pretending to understand and a lot of talking and very little walking, and just say, okay, we are open, but then there is not really trying to really integrate. I mean, you can say you're diverse, but if you're not creating a diverse environment, that's not going to work. So my question for you, Chloe, is how, and for all of you, how do you see the companies that you're working with? I mean, I understand you create this environment to everybody be comfortable, then how do you bring it to the next level, which is having company accepting this and society in general? I mean, that's a big challenge.
Who would like to go first?
All of you.
Okay, Maria, go for it.
Okay, cool. One thing that I really want my company to do or to be is more inclusive and diverse. Like, I've seen the company grow from, you know, its early days, so to speak, to now we're a growing company, and with growth comes growth from all directions. And one thing that I'm pushing for is, you know, with the different ERGs that we have, also having conversations with leadership, really having those hard discussions, hard conversations is where we will grow. Like, that's where you start, by acknowledging that, hey, we have a problem. As they say, knowing is half the solution or half the problem. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, Maria. It's knowing is one of the main key points, right? It's like, you don't know what you don't know. I obviously work for a gigantic company and am at just a wee tadpole, but I do try to like put as much as I can out there on what we're doing, for example, and other things that I do in the community. And my teammates see that, right? And people at my organization see that, and I like their stuff, hoping that they come back and see what I'm working on so that they know this stuff exists. I can't necessarily go share it with everyone at my company, but I can make little steps within my team and say, hey, did you see this cool thing we're doing? And then hope that they at least get something from it or pass it on. you know, I've had people mention that they are aware that I do stuff in the community, and that's great. And so that's just one step, right? And so maybe they see a video and learn something and hold, like, you know, remember that they saw that and learn from it. But, you know, I hope in the future that I have a position where I can actually make a difference, and I'm cataloging the people that I come in contact with that are, Chloe, some of those change makers, right? Like people that are making a difference now that I can reach out to and learn from myself, so that one day it can all tie together and I can make an even bigger impact than I am right now.
Mickey, did you want to add something?
So I also work for a huge corporation, you know, hundreds of thousands of employees around the world, but I actually work on a team that is the most diverse I've ever worked on in my career. And I mean, it is so exciting to work with, you know, men and women of color, cis folks, you know, trans folks, non-binary folks, that I've been in this industry for 35 years. And so it should come as no surprise that some of our vendors who I'm a, you know, forward face to knew me pre-transition. And one, they've all been made aware, and so they all understand, and they've all been really good about it, and all very good. But one time, one of these vendors, they'd never done anything like this before, sent an email to a bunch of people on our team that first dead name went on, and they more than once. And I said, I'm not gonna worry about it happening all the time. And when the next day I got an email with an apology and asking if I wanted them to send an apology to everybody that was on the original thread. And I told them, no, that's okay. I know my team is very supportive. Well, I found out later that day that it was somebody on my team that actually called them out on it and explain to them in very powerful terms, don't ever do that again. So being on a team that's very diverse, being on a team that's inclusive, really does work.
Yeah, I would definitely add on that. I remember the first couple of months working in InfoSec was anytime I would, you know, looking at marketing materials, because that was part of my role. I remember there was this one time we were looking at the website, on this new website design, and the image itself showed like this woman who's supposedly an executive, but she had her legs crossed, wearing a short skirt, high heels on, and like her hands were like this as if she was holding a notebook. And I remember it was the only female silhouette in this entire thing, which had probably like 20 guys in it. And I immediately called it out. And I remember I blushed like crazy, and it took so much energy to just tell them, hey, you see this image right there of that woman? That is not appropriate in any single way possible. If that's supposed to be an executive, make her an executive. She's going to be bigger. She's going to have her hands on her hips. She's going to have her hands wide open, just like a man does at the end of the day, but maybe bigger. So then she takes up more space. But she's not an assistant who's wearing stripper heels. And I just remember saying this, and there's the executives were on there, and I saw their reaction because it was on Zoom, and some of them rolled their eyes. Some of them were just like, oh my God, she's one of those feminists. And in the end, it was like, it wasn't about that. It's just like, if you're going to do this right, do it right. And I just remember, and I got in trouble too by just talking about that. So I think one of the things is that we have to work within our own companies, I think, is a good starting place of having those conversations, having people inside the company talk about these things, have like a group within Slack just for a few folks that are, you know, you feel comfortable talking about these things. I think that's something that's so critically important, because I'll be real with you. I meet executives all the time And they have, most of the time, have absolutely no clue. If anything, they're just going to, they just assume based on how you appear and your looks, that's who you are. And it's a very dangerous game to do that. And so I think that's one of the things is to first get a good group at your own office. And also, if you have a really bad work culture, it's time to look elsewhere, just putting it out there. But it is, We Open Tech is kind of like that place where we can support one another, even if they don't have that support in their work, to be able to talk things over, have resources, just to have that place where they can feel heard and be connected in a sense, because they may not get that in their office at this time.
And what about people that are not already in a position, so that are part of the target audience that you're talking to right now, and they are still looking for their first job, and it may be extremely hard, I imagine, without the support of a community, of a team like Miki Talk or Angela, like you guys have already this team around you, and feeling lonely and needing a guidance. So what is the organization doing for these people?
So we have a jobs page where people can basically submit jobs from their company. And once they contact us and say, hey, we have this job opening, we're looking for people to join, we put on our website, and then we also let people know that our members and on the site that if you apply for this role, let us know. So we'll also contact them saying that there is this person within our community who has reached out about this position. I think that's one of the things that we're doing right now is that, but we've seen so many people be connected for job opportunities on our platform, which is fabulous. And also finding mentors and mentees. But yeah, and I think Maria has something to add on to this.
Yeah. So think about it this way, like aside from those steps, you know, actually getting a job, some, a lot of people also want to get certification. And, you know, some people would say, you know, some schools of thought would say that, hey, you don't need a certification for this. But actually, credentials are also like important, extremely important for those who are still underrepresented, and they need some extra, you know, like some extra representation or extra proof, so to speak, because that's just the world we live in. Now, that said, there are some kind of like study groups and, you know, some resources out there, especially for people who are, for example, taking the OSCP and those that just want to learn together, that sort of thing. So that's also something that we offer.
Yeah, I think the mentorship is huge. And that doesn't have to be the traditional mentorship. It can be, has anyone been through this experience, or an answer to a random question that you may have, just like being able to share our experiences and like what not to do is I think has helped a lot of people already. Just like, you know, don't repeat our mistakes. Here's some shortcuts of like, do this, don't do this. I hope it really helps you, but this is what happened with me. And it's always good to hear those stories, because you don't, again, you don't know what you don't know. And like knowing that you're interviewing the company as much as they're interviewing you is a huge thing to remember. And it's just something small. And that took what, like 5 seconds for me to tell you. So yeah, any type of feedback I think is great. And we're usually pretty happy to respond to those.
Are there any other organization like this that are different place in the world, or are your members are global community? What's your core membership right now?
So we are 100% global. So we have people all over the world, and including our actual team itself, we're all over different time zones, which can be hard in some ways, but it's great when you have events. Someone's going to be awake. Someone's going to be able to run it or manage it. But I would say the other part is, so we're all global. We are all in majority of us are in security itself, but some of us are in tech. And I don't really know any other organization that does what we do. I do know of other organizations that are kind of similar in some ways, but for different mission or theme. So there's Out in Tech, which is an absolutely fabulous organization that works with LGBTQ plus and also for allies that want to join. So I think that's probably like the closest that we have, because I haven't found any organizations that's really geared towards all genders yet in our space at this time.
That was the only one I could think of as well, Chloe.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And that's probably why you started one.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, this is something we need. So if nobody else is doing it, let's do it ourselves.
I mean, the last thing I want to do is pick up another project, clearly.
You say that now.
Yeah, see you next time. But talk to her. It's like, hey, by the way, you know, I started to do this too. I feel like what people like you, Chloe, and all of you, you see a problem, you're going to fight for it. And you lead by example. And Angela, you said that. You're like, do your little thing. Do your little step. Mentor one person. You don't need to go on stage and have 100, 200 people in front of you. Just your little thing. If everybody does it, we're going to do something better. One thing that I'm curious before we close is allies. How can people outside of this? I mean, you say you have open channel. What's your call to action for people that are not necessarily part of this community but want to help?
Go to our website. There is a great link on the first page, which besides the paradox of tolerance, there's another link there that describes all the different types of marginalized genders out there and pronouns and the importance of pronouns. That's one step that you can do that doesn't take any action other than just going to our website, which is weopentech.org. Very easy. Just go to the links, read the links, just the first page itself. Now, if you want to take even further action, if you are an employer or you're hiring, do contact us at info@weopentech.org, and we can actually create job postings for your company on our site. So then we have our members are aware of it. And now the other thing, which is the most important thing, if you want to be part of something such as learning more about what we're trying to do and how to support marginalized genders and actually get gender equity, I would say fill out our form to join us. You'll be added to our Discord page. So no matter what your gender is, there's a space for you. And that is important because we're not going to get equity ever, or you can even say gender equality, no matter where you are. We can use the other term here. But most importantly, if we're going to have any change, we have to come together. You cannot get anything done if we just focus on one particular gender. We have to do it all together regardless.
I also want to add that if you are unsure if you would like to join, let's say you're a marginalized gender or you're of a marginalized gender or other intersectional identity, and you're like, not sure if I should join, you're kind of on the fence, or you just want to talk to someone about it, you can fill out the form or, you know, use any contact us thing on the site. And just mention that you want to talk to someone. I will reach out to you and we can chat about, you know, any concerns that you have. I like to just talk to people one-on-one sometimes and make sure that they're helped in any way, whether or not it's joining the group or if it's something else. I think it's really important to know that you're not alone. We're all here together. We're here for you.
Yeah, and if you want to join on behalf of someone else who maybe is not sure about whether they want to join or announce themselves as any other gender or announce that they're a marginalized gender, we take friends of friends. You can always ask for a friend, for real, whether it's you or not. But I think one of the things that is really important to remember is that if we keep siloing each other off, that's how we're going to stay. And we need to support those who don't have as much of a voice as we currently do.
And this is a very, very important message. And I don't know. I am just always thinking about this. I mean, I think a lot about a lot of things, but in my fantasy world, there is a planet where they don't know what diversity means because they're all diverse, and we all are. And I don't know. I keep beating my head in the wall because I just don't get it. So I really appreciate and I learn a lot from this kind of conversation. And I want everybody, as you said, if you have a question, there's people here that are ready to listen. And if you have initiatives, then make it happen. We will happy on ITSP Magazine, always welcome to any kind of conversation that is constructive for our society. And that's why we welcome incredible hosts like Angela and Chloe and new friend like Maria and Miki, which unfortunately has apparently was having some problem with the connection. So she is not
blame
here
the heat.
Right now.
It's the heat.
Probably the line melted. I wouldn't be surprised about that. So Chloe, anything else you want to finish to wrap this conversation?
Oh, thank you all for existing. I mean, seriously, we wouldn't be where we are without you. And thanks to everyone who's listening to this, because we need to get the word out there, because there's so many people that are feeling very alone and isolated, and they want to be authentically themselves, but they're going to need support, and they're going to need people that are going to listen and be there to listen to them and have their hand at times.
Great. So I'll be the host to end this. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this conversation. We will share all these links and any other resource that you want to provide. It will be on the page on itspmagazine.com and on the podcast. So let's all share. Let's not put this thing under the rug, because it's not the right thing to do. So thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Free socks.
So Miki, tell me a little bit about why is We Open Tech mean so much to you? I know you are our advisory board member, and we're so thankful to have you. But for those that aren't aware of your story or your experiences, do you mind sharing a little bit why this matters to you?
Sure. I can give you a really good example from my employer. When I first started transitioning, I wasn't really comfortable with being out at work. And when I finally did come out of work, my team was very supportive. And this has been just really great in so many respects, that I had a boss who was willing to support me and do whatever it took to make sure that I was supported. And one of the things that happened is, obviously, being a forward face to many vendors, some of them knew me pre-transition, and they were made aware of my transition, and they were all very accepting and very supportive. But we had one vendor one time, they'd never done anything like this before. They sent an email that first dead named me and then misgendered me in a number of places. And they sent this to a number of people on our team. I'm used to this, so I just decided to let it go. Well, the next morning I came in and I had an apology from them in email, asking if they wanted me to have them send an apology to everybody on the team. And I told them, no, I said, I really don't need that. I mean, your apology is good. And my team was really supportive. Well, I found out later that it was one of my team members that called them out on it and explained to them in very powerful terms to never do that again. I mean, I broke down in tears because of that, being supported by my teammates standing up for me. That's why I want to be in We Open Tech, because that is the type of behaviors we need to have modeled in all companies.
Thanks for sharing that. I mean, it's these kind of examples that showcase that a lot of people just don't know better and don't take the time to learn more about what it means to be a marginalized gender, what are the do's, what are the don'ts, even understand how important pronouns are and to respect them. Do you have any advice for people to understand a little bit more about marginalized genders and what they are and who they are, in a sense?
Marginalized genders are anyone who doesn't identify as the gender they are, were assigned with at birth. So, I mean, you have many. I mean, you have trans women, trans men, non-binary folks. You have people who are gender queer or gender fluid. So you have all of these varying genders. And it's kind of like a, you know, just a big blender, right? So you take the two binary genders, throw them in there, and you can come out with anything on, you know, altogether. And so having someone respect your pronouns is, for some people, it's hard. And I get that, because I've had people change their pronouns on me. And, you know, human beings are creatures of habit, right? We get into a rut and we do things. So if you've always used a specific pronoun for someone, and then they come and tell you, hey, my pronouns are now they, them. Well, it's really hard for us to break that habit. But what I started doing long ago is writing it out. So that way, whenever I had a conversation with them, I would write out my conversation and use the right pronouns so that it would get stuck in my brain, right? And but even still, we make mistakes. But the big thing is to just, you know, recognize your mistake, fix it the next time, and move on. Don't make a big deal out of it.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, we're going to make mistakes. We're constantly learning. I mean, I just, even my own experience was that I've made mistakes. Like, I remember that We Are Hackers, before we named it, it was called Women Hackers. And I would say, this is open for women non-binary, because I didn't know better. I didn't know better in a sense that it's supposed to, if you're going to do that, then you need to remove the name women out of the title to be more inclusive. Because the whole thing about being non-binary is to understand that gender is not binary. It's everything, in a sense. And I acknowledge that mistake, because someone DM'd me and was like, by the way, something you should know. And I was just trying to help people out, just thinking we should all come together, but I didn't realize I didn't know too much. But I learned from the lesson, and I then tried to change the name of the organization to fit more. But it's one of those things, if we don't, like you mentioned earlier in your example, is if we don't call things out, we don't correct people, it's very hard for them to learn that they've done something wrong. And I think that's the thing, is like trying to tell someone that, hey, by the way, there's something you should know. It's hard for people, but also for people to recognize that they made a mistake and they feel really bad about it. That's another part. So do you have any advice on how to approach people to let them know, hey, there's something you should know? And also for those that are experiencing someone telling them, hey, you're doing something that you probably want to look more into. Do you have any advice on those fronts?
The thing to do is realize that, you know, yes, you're sorry, right? But it's not about you. It's about them, right? So don't sit there and say, I'm so sorry. What can I do for you? Or, you know, anything like that, because you're putting the onus on them, right? Just apologize and say you'll do better the next time, because it's about them, not about you.
And then, do you have any advice? I know this is going to be the broadest question ever, but do you have any advice for tech industry whole, and that also includes security, on how to do better when it comes to trying to bring, equity to the forefront for having gender equality? And when I use the term gender equality, I know in the past it's usually a reference of making sure that women have equal rights of men. But gender equality is really supposed to be about making sure that every single person, no matter what their gender is, has access to all resources and have the ability to have any position that they desire and they work towards without any prejudice. So how can we fix this problem in your mindset? And I know this is such a broad question to break down, But what are some thoughts that come to mind how we, each one of us, can take further steps forward?
Well, I mean, I hope managers are out there listening to this and understand that they can do it, and it's not easy, right? It does take diligence and understanding that inherent and unrecognized biases do exist, and actively seeking to remove them from the hiring process. To look at potential hires for what they can do and what uniqueness they bring to the team. And to remember that previous performance ties directly to a person's well-being. And I know this, you know, personally, because I've left many positions due to the environment and how coworkers treated me. You know, you need to talk to them. You need to find out what their passions are and try to understand them for what they have or are going through, right? And above all, treat all potential hires with empathy, compassion, and professionalism. My manager is a person who never let looks, gender, presentation, or sexuality affect his choices of who he wanted to hire. He chose people based on what uniqueness they could add to the group. And this has resulted in a team that is the most diverse I have ever worked with. It's comprised of men and women of color, trans women, LGB folks, cis folks, and we all respect each other and treat each other with dignity and compassion, but also with professionalism. There is not a day that goes by that I don't look forward to seeing my teammates. You know, we perform at a level that's envied by so many other groups because we work together and ask for opinions and input. We have a perspective for accomplishing tasks that span a wide range of things.
You definitely get like the unique perspectives because every single person is unique on your team. I know in like tech for the longest time, they would say hire people that are like you so then you can run faster. But at the end of the day, it's the more diverse backgrounds that you have. Yeah, it's going to be a longer process possibly, but you're going to get better products in the end, or you're going to have a better vision in the end. It does go slower. So it's one of those things where just reinforcing that it's about taking the time to work together collaboratively to create something, because that's why you're doing what you do, and to just try to do better at the end of the day, which is so critically important. But
it really is. And I mean, you take our team. I mean, you were right. When we started off, it was slow, right? But as we all got to know each other and started working with each other, it actually increased our velocity because we have so many different opinions and so many different ideas that go on that it makes it much easier to, you know, span the breadth of everything.
I love it. Mickey, is there anything you want anyone to know about We Open Tech and why they should come and join us?
We Open Tech, we're going places. And I mean that they're willing to do the hard work. They've stepped right up and realize that, hey, not everyone is being treated equally, and we need to have a place and a safe space for everyone.
Well, we're so honored to have you as an advisory board member, so thank you. Well, thanks, Mickey, so much for being part of this, and if anyone has any questions for Mickey, you know, feel free to reach out to Mickey. But yeah. Thank you, everyone, and have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, Chloe.
BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com. RSA Security offers business-driven security solutions that provide organizations with a unified approach to managing digital risk that hinges on integrated visibility, automated insights, and coordinated actions. Learn more at rsa.com. Black Cloak provides concierge cybersecurity protection to corporate executives and high net worth individuals to protect against hacking, reputational loss, financial loss, and the impacts of a corporate data breach. Learn more at blackcloak.io.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.